Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good evening, Real Life. We sound amazing. I don't know if you guys ever think of it this way. I've learned to think this way, that when I pray, or when I sing, I don't have a good voice, I force myself to sing loud anyway, because even if we all have terrible voices and we sing together, we all sound good together, that we can bless God. Do you ever consider that you are, that legitimately, that's even scriptural, bless the Lord, O my soul? That means bless the Lord, my soul will bless God. And so as we worship God, part of worship is singing, part of worship is like we talk about, it's our giving, it's our serving. I think one of the best parts of worship, and if you're a parent, you'll get this, is to actually spend time with God, listen to Him, learn to enjoy Him, learn to get to know Him. Because that is why it says in the book of John, when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." To save Him for what? He is to reconcile us, to restore us back to favor with God. Why would I be restored back to favor with God? Because I was out of favor with God. I was the object of wrath. That's what Scripture tells us. But if I'm restored to favor, if that relationship's restored, that means that relationship is intended to be developed, to be grown, and God wants to be known. I want you to hear this. God wants to be known. He doesn't want to be known about. There's a big difference. But He wants to be known, and He wants to know you. He knows you, but He wants you to want to be known. That's a scary one, isn't it? To truly be known. It's called intimacy. It's called connection. And so as we talk about the revolutionary disciples, we talk about the sphere, the abiding sphere, the abiding lifestyle. That word abide, I think sometimes for me, I've listened to sermons and I read the Bible and certain words just blow by us, or by me anyway, and I don't take time to consider. So what I've started doing for about the last 15 years is I want to know what a word means, because that's what God gives us to communicate. And if I know what it means, it will let me know what to do, what not to do, how to respond, how to react. Like the word grace. I ask people all this time, I ask all the time. What does grace, define grace? Because they'll use the word and it means forgiveness. And I go, no, that means forgiveness. Forgiveness means forgiveness. Mercy, no. I want you to hear this. Grace is God's favor and approval of you. Did you know that God favors and approves of you? If I knew that, would I live differently? And I'm not putting a bunch of legalistic stuff on me. How would I respond to a person if I knew they favored and approved of me? They actually liked to spend time with me, and they wanted to do things for and with me. That changes how I'd interact with that person. So if it's true, which it is, that God favors and approves, and He's restored the relationship back to favor, I have a choice, and that choice is, do I believe that? That's a big word, just grace alone. We could go on forgiveness. We could talk about redemption. We could talk about all these words. So it's important. So the word we're going to talk about today is abide. How many people in here have heard that we should abide with Jesus? How many people here, you can raise your hand if you want, go, "I don't do that very well." Or, "I don't know what that means. What box do I need to check to abide with Jesus? What activity do I need to do? Do I need to work harder?" Abide means to remain, or to stay with, or to continue, or to be sustained by. So the invitation to abide, when Jesus says, "Abide with me and I'll abide with you," that means to continue with me, stay with me. And this is what we're going to be talking about. And as we get into this, I'm going to throw a few little thoughts out here that'll hopefully set up what we talk about for the next, 15 minutes. If I'm going to abide with somebody, that means that person loves me. That means the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. So has anybody in here felt guilty because they don't love God enough? And I'm like, how much am I supposed to love? And there, I haven't seen the marker. Well, I don't know how to love enough. What if, how many in here struggle to be loved? If I don't know how to be loved, man, I have to learn that. And it's a process that takes time. So if I'm going to abide with Jesus in that relationship, I will learn to be loved. So to learn to be loved, that means I have to unbelieve certain things in my past that have taught me to protect myself, to guard myself. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. Of course you do, because we live in a hard world sometimes. So we're going to learn to be loved. We're going to learn to be forgiven, to actually believe I'm forgiven. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if we agree with God that we've sinned, that we've gone astray, that we've gone rogue, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. God is faithful and just. Justice has been served. The Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. So he's been faithful and just to forgive us or release us from our sins, forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that would mean that you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, that you are pure in the sight of God. If that's true, which I believe it is, I will live differently. I will live forgiven. What would it be like to be completely forgiven of all my wrongdoings, all my transgressions, all my mishaps? That's what we're going to learn to believe. That's part of abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote this little thought down when I was in the back as we were praying. Disbelief is the enemy of abiding with Christ, of remaining with Christ. I've wrestled with this a good part of my, I've been following Jesus for 33 years, and a good part of that, the belief that I don't believe I'm really forgiven, and I don't really want to spend time with God, I need to work harder, or try harder, or read more, or just give up. Because why would God want to spend time with me after all he's done for me, and I still don't do what I'm supposed to do? Well, that's the time I do need to spend with Jesus. That's why we approach the throne of grace with confidence. To find mercy and receive grace in our time of need. That's Hebrews chapter 4. He set us up in every possible way to be restored to favor with him and take care of the things that you and I can't take care of and do for us what we can't do for ourselves because he loves you. He wants you and he desires you. That's why the Lord Jesus came and died for us. He died for our sin, but to restore us back to favor. So as we talk about abide, I wanted to share a few scriptures with you that'll tell you who you're abiding with. And you don't have the notes. These are notes I just wrote. Who do we worship? Who do we abide with? Who do we believe or submit to? And I'll never get away from this here at Real Life Ministries. We have a vision, and that's to we exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. And I go, what am I going to reach him with? Going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time, and our mission is to create biblical disciples in relational environments. I'm going to learn to be a disciple in relationship and learn to be like Jesus in relationship. And if I'm going to do that, I need to spend time and abide with the Lord Jesus so I can learn to be like him, and I need to be with others that are growing like him, and God does the work in us. We become more and more like Christ. That word, that's sanctification. So if you ever hear that word, that's the process of being made like Christ. So who is it that we abide with? Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Now Jesus Christ has already been crucified and risen again. And when they saw him, now they saw Jesus for the first time. When they saw him, they worshiped him. That's all they could do. All they could do is worship him. I want you to hear this, but some doubted. Some belief. They're like, I saw what I saw. That isn't Jesus. Some doubted. And Jesus came and said this to them. This is the most amazing thing anybody's ever said. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, because of what I just said, do this. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. I'm going to remain with you. I will abide with you to the very end of the age. That's who we're abiding with. He's setting us up to let us know he's going to take care of us. John 14, Thomas, he was one of those doubter guys. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, this is so important, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus Christ is God. God in the flesh. God loved you so much that he actually came down and identified with you in the flesh, lived this life as a human being, didn't sin, and he understands and sympathizes with us in our weakness, but he overcame, he died, rose again, that we would have life and be reconciled with God, that we would abide with him. He's inviting us to be with him. So when I think abide, I always think invite. These are words. So when I read this passage here, I want you to be thinking about these words. I think invited, wanted, safe, protected, equipped, empowered, loved, helped, and considered. That's the person I want to be with. So with those words in mind, I want to read this to you. This is John 15. And Jesus says this to his disciples, and we are his disciples. He said, abide in me, remain with me. It's an invitation. Abide in me, and I in you. You abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to remain with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to continue with you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's why it's such a joke to work so hard to try to be good. Because that's exhausting work. I did it for about 20 years. But if I abide and trust God to do in me what I can't do for myself or do by myself, it's actually the life of Christ in me. It's no longer me. I don't even have any room for self-righteousness because I'm just so happy that I'm not what I was and I'm becoming more like Christ. And I just want other people to have that too. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The opposite of abiding would be rejecting. So anybody who rejects me, anybody who thinks they can do it on their own, anybody that has pride and arrogance and is going to run their own show, they don't have a place. They can't abide. Just think about those of us that have raised kids, and you got that kid or two or three that doesn't want to abide. They want to. You ever have a kid that's embarrassed to even be seen with you? They're about 17 years old, 16. They go to the store. They just want to sit in the car. They don't want to abide with you. They don't even want anybody to know that they were together. That's a terrible feeling, by the way. I just paid for your braces. If you abide in me, oh gosh, I want you to hear this. If you abide in me and my words abide, if my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. As Jesus is saying this, I want you to imagine, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I love you like the Father loves me. Abide in my love, remain in my love. Love is patient and kind. Remain in my patience and kindness. Love isn't rude, it's not easily angered, it doesn't remember wrongs. Remain in that. Love always hopes, always persevere, never gives up, never quits. Please remain in that. Remain in my love. That's where I need you to stay. That's where I want you to stay. I set you up to stay there. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And just as I have kept my Father's commandments. See, Jesus never asked us to do anything that he didn't do either. He's the perfect model for everything amazing. And I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That's the heart of God towards you. If I don't have joy, I'm not talking just where you sit around and got a perma smile. It's a deep-seated thing. I can have joy in the most sad, miserable times. I know that for a fact because there's some things going on that are sad and miserable right now. And I have joy. I have a peace with God. I have a leaning towards his grace and favor in the midst. Because in this world, we need joy. I can't fabricate it. It only comes as I abide in the Lord Jesus. So as we're thinking, as we're doing thinking words, here's another, we're about done. Think this as I read this next passage. Think children, think little kids, loving father, what would a loving father be like? Freedom, being loved, and free to abide and belong, meaning you're wanted, free to be with. You're where you belong. When you're with the Lord Jesus, when you're spending time, you're where you belong if you're a disciple of Jesus. That's your natural estate. That's where you're supposed to be. So think children, loving father, freedom, being loved, and free to abide and belong. So here's what it says in Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus declared, he's talking to a whole bunch of, a big group of people, and then he starts praying to the Father, and this is his prayer. He said, gosh, we get to listen to how Jesus interacts with God. It gives you and I a clue on how to interact with God. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. You've hidden your greatness, your mysteries from the know-it-alls, from the super important people. You've hidden it from them and you've revealed them to little children, for those that are humble and know they have need and know they need help and aren't all full of themselves and think they got their you-know-what together. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except for the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He's revealed the Father to us because he's chosen you. One of the most beautiful invitations that we'll ever get, and I just grieve for all the years I didn't accept this and live in this reality. Then here's the invitation. And again, think like a little kid, like you actually believe what you're being told. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Come alongside me, lock in with me and learn from me. I'm going to help you the stuff you don't know how. I will do it for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, meaning I'm humble. I am the God of the universe, yet I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. Just come alongside me. Abide with me. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is your burden light? Is your yoke easy? Are you dragging stuff around by yourself and ticked off at God because life's so hard? The invitation is to come alongside him and he'll get in with you. And he'll abide, and he's done everything necessary so that we will remain with him. And why I say think like a child, because kids actually believe what we tell them. They do. And Scripture tells us in Matthew 18, lest you humble yourself and become like one of these. Jesus said, we need to think and be like children, not come up with all the reasons why something doesn't work, but actually trust God and ask him to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. I'll say that over and over. So Jesus is having a conversation because we're worshiping tonight. And we're going to close down with this. So Jesus is having, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the woman at the well. Jesus is talking to her. And she's talking about, she's a Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan and the Jews, they don't talk to each other. And she goes, we worship over here and you Jews worship over there. And they're having this conversation. Here's what Jesus says to her. The woman who has been married 5 times is living with the guy she's currently with. And Jesus is talking to her because he loves her. And he's reminding her and letting her know what she means to him. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. And I was reading that this morning and it grieves my heart. So many people worship what they don't know. We're made to know God, not know about him. Not an idea, not an ideal, not a historical figure. It's the true and living God, and we're to abide with him. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They'll worship the Father, true worship, I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit to worship. I need your help. I was praying this morning, Lord, help me pray to you. I've told you guys this before. Sometimes I feel like I'm conning God even in my prayers. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know how to be honest with you praying to prepare for a message. Will you help me pray in dependence on the Holy Spirit and actually be honest and true as I talk to you? That's the kind of worshiper God is looking for, one that prays in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I could talk about this for about 2 hours, but I'm not gonna. I want to remind us to abide, to remain with Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, if you're a new Christian, you don't need, some people don't even know how to sit still and be quiet for 30 seconds. God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. If you're talking to a person, you want them to be still and listen to you and give you eye contact? Because when they don't, you know they're not listening to you. And they're looking at their, well, I got a real watch. It doesn't tell me anything about the time. But those, I got rid of the one that told me everything. It was driving me nuts. I remember one time I was talking to my wife, or she's talking to me, and my phone buzzed, I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm getting rid of this thing. Because I can't have this and have connection with my wife. And it's the same way with God. I have to set time aside to know God and be still. And so do you, because we're disciples of Jesus. Disciples follow Jesus. Disciples are changed by Jesus, and disciples are committed to the mission of Jesus. So as we abide, that becomes a reality in your life and mine. John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give to you, as I have loved you, so love one another. By this, the world will know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. How's the world going to know we're his disciples? Because we actually spend time together abiding with Christ. Part of that is abiding together. We learn to love. We learn to be patient and forgive when we do life together. Because we do enough life together, we're going to have opportunity to forgive, to apologize, to ask for forgiveness. Because we're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to offend each other. If you've been married for more than a week, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we get to practice the life of Christ in us. And that is part of abiding in Christ. I'm going to finish with this statement. My favorite writer that didn't write in the Bible of all time, A.W. Tozer. Wally Hutchins. No, his name's A.W. Tozer. I was talking to Wally. Here's what he says. Let any man or woman turn to God in earnest, like they mean it. Begin to exercise yourself unto godliness. Begin to exercise and practice knowing God. Then turn to seek and develop his powers of, and develop your powers of spiritual receptivity. Learn to listen. Slow down. God's got something to say to you, but he's not going to talk to you when you're running 100 miles an hour everywhere. And by trust and obedience and with humility, and the results will exceed anything you may have hoped in your earlier and weaker days. Lord Jesus, we need you. I ask forgiveness. I don't know why I resist you. Even this morning, you know, and I knew I need to pray and literally get on my knees, and I went and did about three other things first. And so, Father, I thank you that you're patient and you can continue to draw us in, and you love us. You love me. And I choose to abide with you and in you, and I'm asking you to abide in me and us as a church. And the world would know, because what you do in us is what we can't do for ourselves. And you told us to ask anything in your name, and you will give it to us. And so what we're asking for, you guys decide if you want this, is you, Holy Spirit, to rule and reign supreme in my life and our life. And as your church, we will live in dependence and obedience and humility. And the world will know we're your disciples because of our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to continue to worship. And part of worship is celebration. And part of knowing what to celebrate is knowing God and loving what God loves and valuing what God values. And here's what God loves and values is when a person makes a decision to be done with their sinful life, with their independent life, and surrender to the truth and reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do some baptisms. But last week, we had four people that confess Jesus Christ Lord publicly in baptism. You know, as we clap for this, I'm glad we're clapping. Scripture tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents and turns back to God. And what I love about baptism, and these young people are going to be getting baptized, is we identify with Christ in his death, and we're buried, and you'll hear, and we're raised to walk a new life. And baptism is a public declaration of a decision I've made to follow and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm proclaiming the Lord Jesus to others. I'm in obedience being baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Galatians 2 says, Paul says this, it's no longer me. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. They've been crucified. They die. Crucifixion kills the body. They died to the old man or woman, and they're raised to walk a new life. So we're going to get to watch a couple baptisms right now. Go ahead, Sean.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.